Development to order, and I'm going to open a public hearing on Senate Bill 215B. Kim, do you want to tell us a little bit about it?
Sure. Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Senate Bill 215B engrossed eliminates the requirement for cities or counties to pass a resolution in support of the Oregon Business Development Fund project, restricts the county limit on OBDF loans, and increases the maximum OBDF loan amount. It allows Oregon Economic and Community Development Department to make initial deposits for the Capital Access Program and eliminates the requirement of insurance account for industrial development bonds.
Thank you. We have Mark Houston. Houston, welcome. You go ahead whenever ready, and for the record, you need to state your name.
Okay, great. Good afternoon, Chair, members of the committee. My name is Mark Houston. I manage business finance for the Oregon Economic and Community Development Department, and I'm here to support Senate Bill 215 being engrossed. Senate Bill 215 would make some modifications to the business finance programs operated at the department, making them easier to administer and providing more capability to work with banks and businesses in helping them create jobs in Oregon. The provisions of Senate Bill 215 are in three programs and six categories. The first is in the Oregon Business Development Fund. In that program, the bill would increase the maximum loan amount for Oregon Business Development Fund loans from to $1 million from the current money to $500,000. It would eliminate a set-aside for loans under $50,000 to the Oregon Business Development Fund. It would eliminate the requirement that cities and counties pass a resolution in support of loans from the Oregon Business Development Fund. And it would exempt projects in distressed areas from the county limit on loans in the Oregon Business Development Fund. In the Capital Access Program, it would allow the department to make initial deposits in loan loss reserve accounts for the Capital Access Program. And in the Industrial Development Bond Program, it would eliminate the statutory provision of the insurance account for industrial development bonds called the Umbrella Revenue Bond, an unused statutory structure for pooling small bonds. And this is sort of a composite bill, if you will, of all of the business finance programs that are in the department. And if I can, I can go into detail on some of them. For the Oregon Business Development Fund, increasing the maximum loan amount to $1 million from $500,000. The Oregon Business Development Fund is a statewide revolving loan fund that is targeted to manufacturing, processing, high technology, and regionally significant tourism projects. The legislature established the fund in 1983. The Finance Committee for the Oregon Economic and Community Development Commission is a group that oversees the fund, and they are comprised of bankers, business people from across Oregon. Since the program inception in 1983, the department's made over 300 loans totaling $37 million to expanding Oregon businesses. An additional $130 million in private financing was leveraged in these expansion projects. Companies financed by the program projected creating 5,300 jobs. A survey that had a 62% response rate showed that the company's surveys reported jobs at 74% higher than what they had projected. 32% of the loans have been made in distressed areas of the state. The initial loan size was set in 1983 at $250,000. The loan limit was increased to $500,000 in 1997, with a maximum loan of 40% of the project financing. The fund is designed to partner with banks and private lenders to fund companies that are growing and creating jobs. The fund is profitable, pays for all staffing and loan losses, and earns approximately 4% a year. The department has not received funding since 1995 from the legislature or the department's commission to recapitalize this fund. The Oregon Business Development Fund fills a gap in a financing package for companies that are locating or expanding their business. Often a bank can only finance 50 to 80% of a project, leaving a significant financial need to complete the project. Owner equity can often fill some of this financing requirement. The Oregon Business Development Fund was designed to help fill the remaining gap by providing subordinate financing. The fund's loans often subordinate its lien position to a private bank financing, allowing the project to proceed. Generally, $3 of private financing are leveraged with every dollar of Oregon Business Development Fund funding. The department is recommending that the statutory limit on loans be increased to a maximum of $1 million. The higher limit will give the department more capability to work with small to mid-sized companies that need to finance larger, more expensive projects. The finance committee that oversees the program would adopt rules on how and when to make loans up to this maximum loan amount. Because this program is based on economic development and job creation, and based on budget decisions in this biennium and next biennium, there may be additional resource allocations by the department's commission to the Oregon Business Development Fund to allow these larger loans to be made. This concept was generated out of a strategic planning process that occurred during the interim to suggest concepts to provide an economic stimulus to Oregon. The Oregon Business Development Fund has been an excellent job-producing program. The loan size increase would give us more capability to work with banks and businesses that are growing and creating jobs in Oregon. And I could stop there if you want to ask questions on that or just keep going.
Jim Nicholas, Representative March.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Houston, the maximum loan of 40%, will that remain in is that in the statute or is that in practice?
Madam Chair, Representative March, that will remain. The 40% limit will remain, and that is a statutory limit. Actually, the statutory limit is 50%, but the administrative rule has been adopted at 40% and has stayed there.
Okay.
Any further questions? Representative Hunt.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And you may have said it, but I'm not seeing it here. The total amount you now have in the fund, I realize it's a revolving fund, but how much do you actually have in the fund and out in loans?
Madam Chair, Representative Hunt, and these are general numbers. There's been approximately $11 million that's been invested by the legislature and the federal government, $2 million by the federal government, and about $9 million by the state legislature, mostly in lottery funds. The fund now stands at about $19 million, and we have about $3 million in available resources, actually $2 to $3 million, and that's one of our... We have a couple of concerns, frankly, about this provision and being able to implement it. We've seen a ramp up in demand for these loans in the last 2 years. And so as we see more demand, there may not be the flexibility to increase it to $1 million unless additional funding is available through the lottery or other means. So without additional funding, I would doubt that the Finance Committee would adopt rules to increase the maximum to $1 million.
Follow up, sure.
I could follow up. What is the status of requests for additional funds through the lottery?
Madam Chair, Representative Hunt, we're currently right in the middle of Ways and Means in our presentation to the Ways and Means Committee. The department's budget is being proposed to be reduced, but we are not through that process at this point.
Thank you. Any further questions? Do you want to? Oh, Doris, do you have something to add? Sure.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Doris Penwell from Economic and Community Development Department. I want to add a little bit to that issue about funding. The department still has authority to sell lottery bonds. We are selling some in May. We are carrying over some of that authority into next biennium, and we're hoping, and we still think we have the authority to sell at least $20 million worth of bonds. So if they're sold as taxable bonds, we can use some of those proceeds to help put a little bit of money into the Oregon Business Development Fund, and that's how we intend to give them a little bit more money to work on, because it's one of the best job creating things we can do in the department right now. So that's the plan.
Thank you. Okay. Representative Mark.
Actually, triggered another thought. When you do these loans, do you put them together in a standard loan package that could then be turned over and marketed to, you know, to a third party?
Madam Chair, Representative March, that is possible. Actually, there is, because the loans are somewhat longer term, the average loan term is about 10 years, there are secondary markets that have been established for loans of this type. It is possible that if funding was not available through the legislative appropriation process, that we could either sell loans or borrow against the cash flow of the Oregon Business Development Fund. And that is it's a relatively expensive way to obtain loans, but it would give us that capability, and that would be and that would require legislation for us to do that. So we are.
You don't have that authority.
We don't have that authority currently.
Thank you.
Thank you. Do you want to proceed?
Mm-hmm. The second is to eliminate set aside in the Oregon Business Development Fund. The set aside for loans to emerging small businesses and for loans under $50,000 has been in statute for the Oregon Business Development Fund since 1989. 17% of the amount available in the fund is set aside for loans under $50,000, $5.5 million approximately. Approximately $32 million has been available to lend in the Oregon Business Development Fund since 1989. The department has loaned $3.6 million of the target $5.5 million in loans under $50,000. The Oregon Business Development Fund is a statewide revolving fund targeted to expanding created sector businesses that are expanding and creating jobs. The fund has been, as I mentioned, has been successful in revolving loans and making funds available to new projects. As a result, more than enough monies have been available to lend, even with the set-asides. With recent increases in activity, this may not be true for the future. The department has not received enough loan applications for loans under $50,000 to meet the set-aside requirement. Business borrowing needs are dictated by the market and by their ability to service debt. As the cost of equipment, real estate, and construction increase, the demand for smaller loans increases. We are seeing that occur. The set-aside for loans under $50,000 has become an issue related to the availability of monies to loan in the Oregon Business Development Fund. Several factors have converged to complicate this set-aside. The first is that the amount, $50,000, was set in statute in 1989. Inflation and the cost of doing business have made this limit more constraining over time. Also, the maximum amount of individual Oregon Business Development Fund loans was increased from $250,000 to $500,000 in 1997, which makes meeting the set-aside objective more difficult. As a result, the department, without more funding, will soon have the balance of funds entirely set aside for loans under $50,000. In that case, we'd be forced to cease accepting applications for any loan over $50,000 in the relatively near future. The department will, in any event, continue to aggressively seek out and make loans to small businesses as they arise. We have a statutory preference for loans to businesses under 50 employees.
I have a question. What kind of information do you give the business community so that they know that these loans are available?
Madam Chair, we have actually a number of ways of reaching the business community. This is sort of our brochure, if you will. It's one way of getting information out. We have regional development offices across the state, approximately 10 regional development offices that one of their jobs as regional business development officers is to market this type of program. We have a very good working relationship with the Oregon Bankers Association, and we're seeing more and more loans that are referred to us through bankers themselves for Oregon Business Development Fund loans. Our website also features information on our business loan program, so we have a number of ways of getting information out, and we're always working to get more information out to Oregon businesses.
Thank you. Any questions on this part? Okay.
The third, on the Oregon Business Development Fund, would eliminate local government resolution of support for Oregon Business Development Fund loans. The requirement for a local government, city or county resolution of support has been a statutory requirement for making a loan from the fund since the program's inception. This extra level of governmental review is burdensome to a potential borrower and to the department, and in some cases requires extra time to complete. The benefit of this review is not evident. Staff is not aware of any project that not being approved locally. County commissions and city councils are often confused regarding the requirement. In particular, they're concerned that they may have some underwriting role or liability, which they do not. Several local governments have complained about the extra staff time from their perspective and the paperwork from their end. The department doesn't believe these approvals are necessary. Modify the county limit on loans from the Oregon Business Development Fund. The Oregon Business Development Fund statute requires that not more than 20% of the fund's value be outstanding in any one county at any time. This requirement was put in statute to ensure that a single county would not receive a, quote, lion's share, unquote, of loans. In the last biennium, the department placed a moratorium on Oregon Business Development Fund loans over $100,000 from Lane County based on this statutory provision. Although the volume of loans in Lane County exceeded the 20% limit, the overall historical pattern has been closer to their appropriate share. Since the inception of the fund, Lane County businesses have received 11.3% of the total volume of loans made statewide. Lane County represents approximately 9.6% of the state's population. So while they have received somewhat more volume on a per capita basis, they are close to their appropriate share of loans. Furthermore, with loans available to lend, it's difficult to turn away good job-producing projects anywhere in the state. The Senate chose to maintain the county limits in the Oregon Business Development Fund, but exempted distressed areas from the 20% calculation.
Representative March.
So what you've just said is the department exceeded their statutory authority in granting loans to Lane County.
Madam Chair, Representative March, actually we didn't exceed our authority. What we did was we had to stop accepting applications from projects from Lane County because they were at their limit.
It's splitting a fine hair. It says the volume of loans in Lane County exceeded the 20% limit. Is that true or not?
Madam Chair, Representative March, actually it's, I guess the way this does read is technically you'd say that it exceeded the 20% limit. We did not exceed the 20% limit. We got to 19.8% or whatever it was, and now we stopped accepting loans. So I apologize for how that's worded.
Okay.
So it should say almost.
Almost.
Okay.
Almost exceeded.
Good point. Thank you. Any other questions? Okay.
Okay, now we're moving to a different program. It's called the Oregon Capital Access Program. This is this would allow the department to make initial deposits in loan loss reserve accounts for the Oregon Capital Access Program. The department operates a program called Oregon Capital Access that provides matching contributions to a loan loss reserve account established in participating banks. To help bankers make a, quote, almost bankable, unquote, loan, they can enroll a project in the Capital Access Program. The bank charges their customer a fee between 3 and 7% of the loan amount, which is matched by the department and placed in a loan loss reserve account at a participating bank. This loan loss reserve is a common reserve to all capital access program loans made by that bank. In the event of a loan default, the bank can tap the loan loss reserve to cover their losses to the extent that funds are in the reserve accounts. The program has helped to finance over 1,900 small businesses with loans totaling $85 million using the Oregon Capital Access Program. This is since 1994. The average loan size is $45,000. For every dollar that is placed into the loan loss reserve account, $27 of bank financing is leveraged. In recent years, 40% of the loans have been made in distressed areas of the state. To encourage more banks to participate in the program, the department is recommending that we provide an initial deposit of up to $50,000 per bank to seed the reserve account. By doing so, lenders will not have to take the initial risk that an early loan will default with little money in the loan loss reserve. This has been an impediment to banks participating, in the program. The department would contract with participating banks to ensure that banks will commit to market and administer the program once they have accepted the deposit. The Capital Access Program has been a very successful program in helping small businesses gain access to bank-originated loans. To operate the program, it takes a commitment from the participating bank to do a volume of loans. Getting banks to make that administrative commitment and install the program is challenging in an environment where banks have many opportunities and responsibilities. This feature would provide some encouragement to make that commitment and then successfully do a volume of small business projects.
Representative Richardson.
Madam Chair, Mr. Houston, I have two questions on this section. One is, the reason that banks have this is they want participation because of fear of default, and so what we're really saying is that the state will step in and protect the bank, which then means the state is at jeopardy. So what is the default rate for this program?
Madam Chair, Representative Richardson, the bank is at risk for the amount that is of the volume of loans that is over the amount that's in the bank's loan loss reserve account. So as an example, a bank may have between 6 and 10% of the total volume of loans in a loan loss reserve account that would be available to cover those loans. To date, the loss rate has been a little over 5%. 5.2%, I think, is the actual loss rate that banks have seen in this program. And one other point, just to reemphasize, there is a matching program so that the borrower and the state are both contributing to this loan loss reserve account. The state does double match in distressed areas of the state. So we do put in a higher amount in distressed areas. But so overall, the state's putting somewhat more in than the borrowers are. But the amount that we put in is the limit of our risk, if you will, in this program.
Okay. Second question.
Follow up.
Okay, Madam Chair, Mr. Houston, I notice on in your numbered categories, number two, eliminate the set aside in the Oregon Business Development Fund. You have a sentence that says the department has not received enough loan applications for loans under $50,000 to meet the set-aside requirement. But in number five here, it says the program has helped finance over 1,900 small businesses with loans totaling $85 million. The average loan size is $45,000. Is there a contradiction?
Madam Chair, Representative Richardson, there may be some contradiction there. The programs operate a little bit differently. One, the Oregon Business Development Fund is a leverage program where we, for example, and I think this is approximately correct, $3 of private financing for every dollar of state funding. So if we do a $50,000 loan, there would be $150,000 of bank financing. So it takes, in reversing that, if you will, to do a $50,000 loan, the state would make a loan in that case of, $15,000. The capital access program is a guarantee program where banks can enroll the project in a very non-bureaucratic way in the program and have relatively small loans being rolled without a lot of process and paperwork. And I think that there is some real benefit from that perspective in doing small loans. And there may be some aspect of this program being available that has substituted, if you will, for the Oregon Business Development Fund in that small loan category.
Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Ferger, you had a question?
Yeah, I haven't. Thank you, Madam Chair. I haven't actually read this. A couple of these programs you mentioned, there are special provisions for distressed areas as defined how in these.
Madam Chair, Representative Berger, the department publishes a list that I'd be happy to make available to the committee members. There is it's like a six-factor formula that goes into an analysis of counties and cities. That's based on unemployment rates and low-income population, other socioeconomic factors, and that list then is published through one arm of the department, if you will, on our economist side, policy and research side, and then on for business loans, then we use that list to provide some additional incentives, and each one of these programs. Have some additional incentives for making loans in distressed areas. There's a 2-to-1 match in the capital access program. In the Oregon Business Development Fund, we can make a slightly lower interest rate loan in distressed areas. And in another guarantee program that I haven't talked about, we can make loans to retail and service businesses in distressed areas where generally we're limited to doing traded sector businesses. So we've given more flexibility, more capability of doing loans in distressed areas as a result of that.
Follow up, please.
Could I address this to Ms. Penwell?
Sure.
Remember this morning's discussion in revenue, Doris, you were there, regarding changes in the distressed area. One of the bills before us had to do with what is a distressed area for another provision, and I just wondered if you have a sense of how many distressed area definitions we have throughout and how complicated this is while we're on the subject.
Madam Chair, Representative Berger, this morning we were talking about the Enterprise Zone Program.
Yes.
And specifically the long-term Enterprise Zone Program. And distressed areas are always trying to find ways to define themselves one way or another so that they can get incentive programs available to businesses to come into their area. And we have a single way of defining distressed areas in the state, but those programs do then go further and define based on specific ways of the chronic nature of their unemployment or their distress in some other way. So you're right in a way. Some of these programs use it beyond what we define as distressed areas in the state. And by the way, we update our distressed area list, and other agencies are beginning to use it too, but we update that periodically, at least once a biennium, but sometimes more than once a biennium, so that you really do know where the relationship of one city or county to the rest of the state.
Thank you. Representative March, did you have a question?
Yes. The capital access program works like a loan guarantee program. You pay a fee up front, goes into a reserve fund, and you don't get that fee back when the loan's paid off. Is that correct?
Madam Chair, Representative March, actually, the way that it works is that the state deposits money into a loan loss reserve account that's owned by the state, in the state, and the match from the borrower is also placed in that account. Both of those amounts have been owned by the state. In the event that everything goes according to plan, there would not be a default in the bank. Participating in the program. The money would remain with the state.
Okay. And then I had another call. Thank you.
Please.
The loss rate is about 5.2% in the capital access program. What's your default or loss rate in the business development funds?
Madam Chair, Representative March, it's approximately the same, about 5%.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. One more to go.
One more to go.
All right.
Madam Chair, this would eliminate, and members of committee, this would eliminate the statutory provision of the insurance account for industrial development bonds or umbrella revenue bonds. And this is really what I would call a housekeeping amendment that eliminates several statutory provisions for a pooled industrial development bond program called umbrella revenue bonds that was not successfully implemented. The concept to pool smaller business development projects into one large bond issue can save on costs. To save on costs is a good concept. However, the technical difficulties of managing and delivering an umbrella bond program, especially with the changing federal rules that govern the program, have made delivery of this program impractical. The department has not given up on the concept. We believe based on discussions with bond counsel and financial advisors that a pooled industrial development bond program would be feasible. We are currently examining several methods to accomplish this goal. However, the structure envisioned in statute to accomplish this goal is not workable, so we are recommending that it be deleted from the statutes. Thank you for the opportunity to testify, and I'd be happy to answer any other questions.
Okay. Are there any other questions? Representative Gallegos.
It's the standard question that I seem to ask, and that is, what is an eligible project as defined in this? Because I see that that's highlighted with quotes on page 6, line, determining a permanent development project and eligible project, the OECDD shall forward the application. Where do you guys define, and maybe it's already in here and I'm scanning for it. But.
Madam Chair, Representative Gallegos, under this program, this is for industrial development bonds, and this same definition was used in the strategic investment program, which I think has been another topic of discussion of this committee. The eligible project in statute is defined very broadly currently, and that is that it is any revenue-producing project in Oregon, not including electrical generating facilities. There is another determination that the commission has to make, and that a project would be would benefit a company that trades in national or international markets as one other major determination that the commission has to make. And that determination really eliminates retail type businesses, food service, that kind of activity from eligibility. But by administrative rule, the commission has adopted further definitions of what an eligible project is, and generally those are manufacturing, processing, high technology, some tourism-related businesses, and those would be tourism-related businesses that have either a significant regional impact, and in other cases can or are marketed outside of the state, and those administrative rules then are adopted and give the commission and the department the capability of determining quote an eligible project.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks. Any other questions? Seeing none, thank you very much. Is there anybody else here who wants to testify on Senate Bill 215B? Seeing none, I'll close a public hearing on Senate Bill 215B and open a work session on Senate Bill 215B. Well, committee, you want to move this bill?
I think so, Madam Chair.
Representative Gagos?
It's clear this is stuff, these programs are all things that have been in progress already. It would have been good to have had a review of this prior to seeing the bill, but you know, we are where we are today and getting lots of new information about new programs that we might not have known enough about, but Oregon needs to get moving again.
So what's your motion?
You ready for a motion?
Yes.
Okay. To know whether we're looking for discussion. So I move.
I need a motion before the discussion.
Oh. Then how about I move Senate Bill 215B to the floor with the, or does it have a subsequent referral?
It does not.
To the floor with the due pass recommendation.
Thank you, Representative Gagos. I have a motion to move Senate Bill 215B to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Representative Gagos, do you have any further
questions? Nothing more.
Any objection? Seeing none, so ordered. Take Representative March.
Madam Chair, I would move that we place Senate Bill 215B on the consent calendar.
Thank you, Representative March. I have a motion to put Senate Bill 215B on the consent calendar. Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. It'll be placed on consent calendar, and I'll close the work session on Senate Bill 215B, and I'll adjourn the Trade and Economic Development Committee.